I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest, Ian Jocklin, is a documentary filmmaker, concert promoter, actor, and kickboxing champion, with 3 films produced and 1 world kickboxing title under his black belt. Jocklin, 44, is a graduate of the highly acclaimed Method Acting School, Joanne Barone, D.W. Brown Studio. His 10-year acting career in Hollywood, including starring roles in Death March and Expert Weapons, as well as lead roles in several other action movies. His television credits include appearances on Days of Our Lives and the sitcom Just Shoot Me. His acting years coincided with his 10-year professional fighting career. In 1990, he was chosen to be the light heavyweight in the camp of heavyweight boxing champ Lennox Lewis. A black belt in Kempo Karate, Jocklin went on to become the Canadian International Sport Karate Association's and the World Kickboxing and Karate Association's North America champion. He was ranked number 2 in the world by WKA in 1992. During the last 10 years, his focus has been on producing documentaries and music videos as owner of Codependent Pictures Incorporated. His first 2 films were rockumentaries, one in New York and one in upstate New York. Jocklin's current film, iCureCancer.com, is about people who cured themselves of deadly disease after their doctors were unable to help them using holistic medicine. Numbers are in the hundreds, possibly thousands, that the film has helped to learn the truth of cancer healing. He is seeking funding currently to finish iCureCancer.com Part 2, Baby Killer. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Ian, and I look forward to hearing about your very diverse life. Now, first, can you tell us how you got into acting in Hollywood?
Yeah, well, I was the Canadian kickboxing champion, and I just jumped on my motorcycle with a tent and sleeping bag one day and 3 days' notice quit my job and said goodbye to my family and friends in London, Ontario, Canada, and drove my motorcycle with the tent and sleeping bag to California because my dream was to fight for a world championship, and I couldn't get fights in my hometown of Canada because, well, the government, and it's a long story, I won't get into it, but it was difficult to get fights in Canada. So I went to California, and next thing you know, my sparring partner is Don the Dragon Wilson, who was at the time one of the longest reigning world champions. He's a living legend, good friend of mine too. He started putting me in his movies as just extra, you know, like taking a punch here, taking a knife there, you know. And one of the movies I was working on him with, called Ring of Fire 2, the main lead bad guy didn't show up. He had issues at the border, I guess, coming from Canada. So they gave me the lead role. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of pursued the acting along with the kickboxing, which was a mistake in the end because when you're a professional fighter, that's all you can do. You can't do anything else. And so I ended up losing some fights that I never would have lost had I not been doing these movies. So I just retired from the fighting because I realized what my larger goal in life, the only reason why I was fighting in the first place, aside from loving the excitement of it, was I realized with, you know, I know what I have. I know what my intellect is. I know what my IQ is. I know what my potential is. I knew I wasn't going to change the world with just my brain. I had to use everything I had. And so I wanted to, I didn't really want to become famous, but if that was a repercussion of being able to reach as many people as possible for the good word of, you know, whatever that word would be at the time, I was willing to do that. So then the acting career kind of started to peter out a little bit because by the end of the 90s, they just stopped making those martial art films, and that was the core of my work, you know, me being a kickboxing champion, of course. But luckily, it's funny how things work out. I met this girl, Cynthia Brooks. We were doing a play together in Los Angeles. And during one of our breaks from rehearsal, she mentioned to one of her friends that she just cured herself of cancer. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, you can't cure yourself of cancer. If you could, we'd all know about it, right? And it was fortunate because this girl I've been crazy about for years, man. And so we ended up dating, and we did this play together. It was fun. It was beautiful. And she explained to me over the months that how she cured herself of cancer. And the irony of it is she didn't even know. Like, now we know what an alkaline diet is. 12 years ago, we didn't know what that was, but she was on it. She didn't know if she was on it, but she was. She also used the Rice machine, which I'm sure you know Dr. Mm-hmm. Royal Raymond Rice mm-hmm. invented a machine back in the early 1900s that finds the frequency of the cancer cells, kills them only, and leaves all the healthy cells. And he had basically 100% cure rate going with that. Well, somehow she found out about that, too. She's a very enlightened spiritual woman. She's, you know, meditates a lot. She went to the Center of Light Healing Center here in Los Angeles where they teach meditation. So she did a lot of that as well. So basically, I learned that cancer was curable. Since I was an actor already, I wanted to make a film about it, but I had to teach myself how to use a camera and the editing system first because I couldn't get anybody to invest money in it. Nobody believed me that she cured herself of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So my buddy had a camera and a Mac computer. This is when digital first came out, so you no longer had to be a millionaire to make a movie. So I just started shooting. I made two rockumentaries in New York. It was a funny thing. I made one in New York City. Basically, my buddy got an investment, so he got a camera and a computer, and it wasn't even out of the box yet, and he wasn't as interested as I was, so he just let me have at it, and I just started shooting the musicians in my building. I lived in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, which was when sort of everything went from Soho, the artist area went from Soho to Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm.
And my building was full of artists, so I just started shooting them and their stuff, and then I would go back to the computer to teach myself how to edit. And then I went to 911 happened, and we lost the investment. So I had nowhere to go. So I went upstate New York to live with a friend until I got on my feet because I'd basically just been working for room and board at that point. It was Elmira, Corning, Ithaca area.
Right.
Horseheads is
mm-hmm.
where I actually lived. I lived in a place called Horseheads. That was hysterical. And it was weird going from Los Angeles, Hollywood, to New York City for a year, and then Brooklyn even, and then Horseheads. Here I was. I was a former kickboxing champion, movie star. I was on Days of Our Lives for a while. And then I end up after 911 in Horseheads, New York, pumping gas for $6 an hour. But I still had my camera with me and computer. So I decided to, you know, instead of committing suicide, I'd
right.
make another movie. I was very depressed after 911. Even though I didn't know anybody in it, I'm very sensitive to the... I developed a tick for about a week after that event because we were right there, too. We could see it from our building, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I get to upstate and I just dove into my work and I made a film there. And the cool thing is I was good enough at that point to start shooting the cancer documentary. So I shot it. And then while I was still living in Horseheads, I screened it at the Elmira Heights Theaters. This is back in 2006. You can go to Amazon and buy my first film, the one that we're speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's called iCureCancer.com. And one of the people left a note from the upstate New York area saying, hey, if it wasn't for Ian Jacklin and his film, you know, my wife probably wouldn't be alive today. So somebody in the audience, when I was screening it in that little theater in upstate New York, saw it, took it to heart, researched themselves, and was able to cure their wife of cancer. So that's kind of how I got into it all. I went from being a champion in the ring to a movie star in the martial art films, and then... As soon as I found out cancer was curable, I thought everybody needs to know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way of doing that probably is to make a film about it. So that's what I did. And it has helped out, I don't know how many people, you know, hundreds, thousands of people maybe since that 2006 screening. And I'm working on part two right now. It's called Baby Killers, iCureCancer.com, part two, Baby Killers, because I want America to know that, because now they're starting to wake up to the fact that cancer is curable. And so they might look into something, you know, and it's fine if they're over 18, but if they have a little baby that has brain cancer, it's illegal to do anything but what the doctor says. So the doctor, as always, is going to say chemo, radiation, surgery. That's the only thing that they can treat with in America. And if you happen to be like me or yourself, educated in this area, that Western medicine is just no good when it comes to degenerative disease, especially cancer. And a lot of people know an alkaline diet, you know, the Rice machine, enzymes. There's so many different ways of curing cancer. It's not even funny. you want to try that with your kid, they come to your house, arrest you, and take your kid away. Children's Services will take your kid away.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is right now in America. People do not know this. So that's why I'm calling, it's kind of an extreme name, baby killers, but that's in essence what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I've been making this film on blood, sweat, and tears. I can't seem to get anybody to invest, you know. So I've shot everything I can in my local area of L.A., basically in Mexico. But there's a few people I want to interview around America. And so I've got a thing up on Indiegogo right now. If people go to iCureCancer.com and or IanJacklin.com, IanJacklin.com, they can see the Baby Killers Part 2 movie. Click on it, and if they want to invest even $25 or $50, $100, or people have good money, want to invest $1,000, whatever it takes, so I can travel. And here's why I want to travel. Here, and you'll see when you hear the story. There's this one girl. Her name is Josie. She's a baby. I think she was 2 or 3 or something when she got brain cancer. And the father and mother were made to do the chemo radiation surgery as always. And she was going to die. And the doctor said, just, you know, there's nothing else we can do. Take her home. Get your affairs in order. So they do. And they thought, great. Now we can try something that we've been wanting to try anyway. They contacted Dr. Bernardo, the late, great Dr. Bernardo, may he rest in peace. He was the star of my film, I Cure Cancer, the first one. He's the one that, he took Brian Peskin's book and Otto Warburg's, who won the Nobel Prize back in the early 1900s about why cancer happens and what to do about it. And Brian Peskin wrote a book recently called The Hidden Story of Cancer, which I highly recommend. And it basically explains that the reason why we have cancer is because we have lack of oxygen in the cells, and if you can fix that, cancer will die. So you do that by the alkaline diet, getting your pH level from, if you have cancer, it's probably around 5, get it up to about 7, and cancer can't live. So they got Dr. Bernardo to be the doctor. So right away he gets the kid on the alkaline diet, and they're mixing up like avocado and just all the proper things for the body, and babies are so in tune with this kind of stuff. They're not already saturated with toxins and stuff from a lifetime of it, although, of course, she was, thanks to the chemo radiation. So through a detox diet and boosting up her alkaline system, that baby who was sent home to die was cured in, I think, 2 or 3 months. And it was funny, once the hospital found out that she was not dead yet, they're like, well, you better bring her in so we can give her another dose of chemo or radiation or whatever it was. And so they kept missing appointments and sort of evading them the best they could. And then finally, when they did have to go, they said, well, before you do anything, just check her. Just check her and see what it is. And she was cancer-free. And, of course, the doctor didn't want to know anything about it because then that would prove to him that he's actually a mass murderer. That's every oncologist out there today is a murderer because they didn't have the intelligence to think outside the box. They had the intelligence to go to school. They didn't think outside the box. And realized that the only reason why they're teaching, this is what it goes down to, and I always like to make this point. Back in the early 1900s, Rockefeller and Carnegie, they already owned the textbook companies and the pharmaceutical companies, and they wanted to know how to make business better, so they got into the medical boards and had teaching at our medical schools changed. So it's basically they write prescriptions now for problems. And that is why we are in the horrible state that we're in today, because of Rockefeller and Carnegie. And, you know, now it's all about drugs. And it's really sad because anybody could easily look on the Internet nowadays, thank God for that, and do the research. And the people that do are the ones that survive. I've got so many testimonials, so many people in my films that were told they had so much time to live, just like my girlfriend back in the day, you know, and they did it on their own. And boom, there they go. They're alive and well, and I think we just need to continue to spread this information because Big Pharma runs our medical system, and it's like the fox guarding the hen house. It's not good. You know, it's not good for us.
Mm-hmm. Ian, would you tell us then about your iCure Cancer site, your DVDs and project, and then your website and how people can reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody out there, and I don't expect you to take my word for it, but I do expect you to at least question me and do your own research, and you'll find out what I found. I can speak with confidence about it because I've been doing it for, you know, 12, 14 years now. Go to iCureCancer.com. There's many videos on there. I use the Ning platform, so you can join up kind of like you would on a Facebook thing, and then you can look at my, I would say the best thing is to watch as many of the videos I've made as possible, because most of them are cuts from my film, iCureCancer.com. You can also order the DVD from there, but if you can't afford the whole DVD, you can go to Amazon and rent it for something like $1.99. I would highly recommend renting it so you get to see people's eyes as they speak about it. So iCureCancer.com and or IanJacklin.com will give you the basic information on what to look for. And please check out my Baby Killers Part 2, iCureCancer.com, if you or anybody you know can invest in helping this film come to fruition, because we want to get it out to Sundance and Cannes and all the big festivals to teach more people that they can indeed cure their own cancers. They just basically got to stay away from their oncologist, with the exception of getting tested. But don't let them tell you what to do. That's just my advice and what I would do.
Well, thank you very much, Ian. This has been interesting, and I appreciate your taking the time to talk with me.
My pleasure, man, and I wanted to thank you, too, for all the good work you do. You know yourself. You're a cancer survivor yourself, and you know what I'm saying is true. So
right.
Keep doing your
right.
work, and I'll keep doing mine, man.
Great. Good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Denise Marie, the publisher of A Distinctive Style magazine, has outdone herself in the winter issue, available at www.adistinctivestyle.com. For your pleasure, Denise Marie has brought together what reads like a who's who of Hollywood, Broadway, and Nashville stars, including Brad Pitt, Hugh Jackman, Anne Hathaway, Dolly Parton, Matt Dillon, Jeremy Irons, and others. Each talk about their career and lives by way of written and audiovisual media. Brad Pitt, the amiable Hollywood heartthrob, actor, and philanthropist, graces the cover and is featured in an exclusive interview in which he talks about balancing marriage, a large family, and a new film. Hugh Jackman, highly acclaimed for his recent role in Les Miserables, for which he won a Golden Globe Award and has been nominated for an Academy Award, talks about that role and his family. Denise Marie says Hugh Jackman is a sincere person that truly loves his family over anything else. Anne Hathaway, who also won a Golden Globe Award for her role in Les Miserables, talks about her recent marriage, motherhood, and career. Her singing of I Dreamed a Dream in Les Miserables was surprising to me and also memorable. Matt Dillon in Promised Land, where big business descends on an economically deprived community with devastating results, present a story that is often repeated in America and needs to be highlighted. And Dolly Parton, one of my favorite actresses, songwriters, singers, and philanthropists, talks about her personal philosophy that resulted in a fantastic career from her book, Dream More. Beyond these stories of famous people are stories of social issues, such as genetically modified foods, global warming of the polar ice caps, childhood cancer, chemicals in your body, the harmful effects of foreign-grown salmon, and others. For example, do you know the top cereals likely to contain genetically modified organisms? Or do you know how rapidly the ice caps are melting? You won't want to miss this exciting winter issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest, Valerie Orsoni, is the CEO and founder of the international online healthy living coaching program, LeBootCamp.com, the worldwide image for the W2 and Sony movie game, My Body Coach, and Slender Tone electrostimulation products, as well as ambassador for Nestle's fitness cereals. Valerie is constantly sought out by the media for her expertise in health and weight loss. Ohsoni has appeared on national and international television, including Good Morning America, CNN, NBC, Fox, and CBS, and has authored books on coaching in business, health, fitness, and weight loss. Her latest release is La Method Ohsoni, or The Ohsoni Method, published by Reader's Digest. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Valerie, and I look forward to hearing about your experience with cervical cancer. Now, first, when were you diagnosed with cervical cancer, and how did you find out that you had it?
You know, it's a very interesting question, and I always tell people to never, ever look back. Mm-hmm. So the truth is, I don't even remember the exact day and year. It was about 6-7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
What really mattered is the way I learned about it. We all have that moment where before that moment, everything was fine. And after that moment, it was not fine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we all remember how we learned about it. As far as I'm concerned, I was getting ready to drive to the airport, pick up somebody very important to me, and fly to Las Vegas
mm-hmm.
to enjoy life.
mm-hmm.
And about an hour before going to the airport, I'm getting a phone call from the hospital. And somebody tells me, it's just a courtesy call confirming my appointment for tomorrow's surgery. And I have no clue. And I'm like, listen, I think you are making a mistake. I'm
mm-hmm.
totally healthy. I have no problem. And tomorrow I'll be in Vegas. So you must be, you know, mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hang up. And the person calls me back and she says, are you so-and-so? And that's your social security number. And I'm like, yes. And she really insists. I'm like, listen, I don't have anything. Which service is that? And she says, it's oncology. And I'm like, okay, listen, I don't have cancer. There must be somewhere some problem.
Mm-hmm.
After 5 phone calls, my heart is starting to beating up
mm-hmm.
faster. I find out that because of some, you know, problems in their procedures or whatever, nobody, including my doctor, who was traveling at the time, had called me to inform me of that. They all thought somebody had
mm-hmm.
called me, that I had come in, which I had not done. So I really learned the bad way
mm-hmm.
that I had something wrong. There is no good way to learn about it, I'm sure, but
right.
this particular way was very stressful, I would say, because I didn't know if I really had or not something.
Right. And did you go ahead then to Las Vegas?
Yes. I mean, what I did is I went for surgery, and then they said we would not know the results for a few days. I'm
mm-hmm.
sure you know about that. So
mm-hmm.
I'm like, listen, you know what? I'm very tired. I feel so bad. But I'd rather be in Vegas
right.
on the road forgetting about all of that rather than at home eating, I don't know, ice cream to forget.
Right.
So I went ahead and traveled, which, frankly, if you can do it,
mm-hmm.
do it. Because your mind is taken away from your problems, and I think it's one
right.
of the first steps to recovery, or at least less stress.
Mm-hmm. So you had surgery, and then what other interventions did you use, Valerie?
I had 3 different interventions, I would say, and then at one point, when I saw we were not getting anywhere, I decided to go on a raw diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to tell people go on a raw food diet.
Mm-hmm.
However, I must admit that by eating raw foods, you do get a lot of nutrients and more fiber and a lot of good things in your body.
Right.
And which in today's, you know, hectic lives we are leading, we tend to eat pretty poorly. And reconnecting with, you know, Mother Nature, with healthy foods, definitely helps us reconnect as well with our body.
Mm-hmm.
Raw food and also regular healthy food. I was on a 75% raw food diet,
mm-hmm.
and the 25% remaining were spent on what I called healthy cooked food,
mm-hmm.
you know, smoked salmon and other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really reconnected with healthy food. That's also how I wrote a few recipe books and, you know, weight loss books based on my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I really went to a, you know, less fat, less sugar, more fiber, more nutrients. I'm always shocked that doctors never, ever, with rare exceptions, tell their patients to change the way they are eating.
Right, right.
They right away give you pills and surgeries. And I am not saying we should not get it. However, I think that if you combine the traditional approach to a new diet, a healthy one, you know, less refined foods and preservatives mm-hmm. and colorings and whatever, I mean, you're already supporting the medicine
right.
as opposed to eating, you know, hamburgers and fries and, I don't know, cookies, candies, I don't know, burritos, pizzas
right.
all
right.
day long. That kind of defeats the purpose of trying to cure your body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because when I had lung cancer 38 years ago, I was on 75% raw fruit and vegetables, and the rest was cooked. But I didn't have salmon. I had no protein, no sugar. I could have grains and nuts, but no protein. So the diet was basically the same 38 years ago. But I think my doctor was very progressive.
Yeah, I must admit, even today, in 2012, you still have 90% of the doctors who don't understand the what I call, you know, the life diet approach.
Now, Valerie, what do you consider the top 10 cancer-fighting foods?
Well, the first one, actually, is the cheapest one. It's an apple. You know, apple is it's the cheapest and the easiest to find fruit on the planet, at least in the USA, and it has been proven to reduce the risk of ingesting harmful pesticides, obviously if you buy it organic,
mm-hmm.
but it contains a lot of pectin,
mm-hmm.
which is also what we call a general intestinal regulator.
Mm-hmm.
It helps the body excrete heavy metals, preservatives, and other food additives. So it's very healthy. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you remember, but when Chernobyl happened in Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
I think it was
mm-hmm.
in 86 or 84,
mm-hmm.
the government at the time was giving apples to the little kids
oh,
who
really?
Had been receiving
oh.
too much, yes, radiation.
Mm-hmm.
They had found out, obviously you don't want to give them, you know, apples that have been cultivated there,
mm-hmm.
but they had found out it really helped reduce the level of toxins in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is artichoke.
Mm-hmm.
Again, pretty easy to find. And what's very interesting is artichoke does increase the production of bile. And since one of the purposes of bile is to transport toxins to the intestines before they will be excreted,
mm-hmm.
the more artichoke you eat, the better.
Mm-hmm.
That's my first two. But then I have eight more. I have banana. Banana is very easy to find as well. You see, my top 10 starts with easy stuff to find.
Mm-hmm.
But bananas are an excellent source of potassium. And the good thing about potassium is that it helps regulate the level of fluids in the body. And thanks to that, it prevents water retention.
Mm-hmm.
And the equation is simple. If you have more fluids retained in the body, you have more toxins trapped. Now, if you have less fluids in the body, you have less toxins.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Number four is watercress. I know it's kind of peppery, strong taste, not always easy to find, but listen, I mean, you have to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, watercress has been proven over and over to be an amazing detoxifying food. And as a matter of fact, there was a recent study conducted on smokers. And we know that smokers have a very high level of toxins.
Mm-hmm.
It was shown that subjects who ate cress every day, one serving per day, eliminated a much higher level of carcinogens in their urine samples.
Mm-hmm.
So we could, you know, infer from that it really helps get rid of toxins.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have four. The number five is avocado. There is something in avocado, an important antioxidant, that's called glutathione. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we say it zaps free radicals in the body. It basically helps get rid of a large amount of free radicals. And we know that free radicals are evil, and so we need to get rid of them. So glutathione specifically blocks intestinal absorption of certain fats that create free radicals. So it's very strong. And by the way, on top of that, there's a recent study conducted on elderly people who consumed a lot of avocado, meaning at least one a day. And these people showed a lower tendency to suffer from arthritis. So you know what? Let's just have one avocado a day.
Okay.
And my last four, actually, we have beets as well. They contain two powerful active ingredients called methionine and betanine. They both help the body purify waste. Betanine has one more thing. It helps the liver metabolize fatty acids. So, you know, it kind of, I would say, help support the liver functions, which can then concentrate on more dangerous toxins. So really have beets three times a week. It's amazing. And then all what we call the cruciferae, you know, cabbage, anything that's from the cruciferous family, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, broccoli, collards, all of them are extremely, extremely healthy. They neutralize something called nitrosamines, one of the toxic agents produced by cigarette smoke, for instance. They also prevent the onset of aflatoxins. It's a toxic mold linked to liver cancer. They are very healthy. On top of that, they contain tons of vitamin C. They have fiber, easy to cook. Just steam them or eat them raw, and off you go.
Great.
And then we have garlic. This we know. I mean, it contains allicin or allicin, very strong sulfur-containing compound. It's antibacterial, antifungal, anti-clotting, amazing. It also has lipid-lowering effects. It's very healthy. You know, in France or Corsica, where I'm from, we eat garlic at every single meal except breakfast. Though, no, actually, my grandfather was eating garlic for breakfast. Very healthy. And the last two are tofu and prunes. Tofu, for different reasons, we know it's a great source of low-fat protein. Also, it has been shown to eliminate heavy metals. That's very healthy. And, you know, I love studies. There is an amazing one conducted by Harvard University that showed that people who consumed tofu on a daily basis, I know that's a lot of tofu, they had 10% less toxins in their bodies. So have tofu, maybe not every day, but, you know, every other day, a little bit of tofu, organic, obviously, is good for you. And my last, you know, detox food is prunes. They are very, very rich in antioxidants. They are often compared to blueberries. They're also pretty rich in sugar, so it's a treat. You know, don't go beyond 5 per serving, because otherwise it's not so healthy, too much sugar. But prunes have what we call tartaric acid. It's a natural laxative, so that's pretty cool. Depending on the cancer treatment you're taking, you might have some issues with your, you know, bowel movements, so that's going to help. And it also contains lots of detoxifying antioxidants. So really, you can have 5 prunes a day. That's going to help regulate everything and give you tons of vitamins.
Great. Now, Valerie, would you tell us about your services and products and how the listeners can reach you?
Yeah. So I have, you know, based on everything I have learned the course of the past 20 years, I have started a website called lebootcamp.com. lebootcamp.com. And it's a website where people can learn how to lose weight in a healthy way. We call it online healthy living coaching. And we have about 1.2 million members now. And we are not making crazy empty claims. We are just sharing with you everything that's on the market regarding healthy living, healthy weight loss, all the new studies, everything there is out there, we share it with you.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Valerie. It's been interesting and will be helpful for those who have cancer. So I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. My third guest, Annie Kaspar, is a pioneer of non-invasive alternative cures for cancer. She is a humanitarian, seeker of truth, and conduit for healing. Annie's humanitarian call to action, Compassionate Cures for Cancer, asks cancer patients worldwide to request the modern medical community investigate and deliver natural, less invasive methods of treating and cure cancer. She is a four-year thriver of intraductal carcinoma, the most prevalent breast cancer in the world today. Annie consults, conducts educational seminars, workshops, and retreats, and is a life coach and international speaker. After abandoning Wall Street in 2005, she founded Body by Bliss, an international wellness consultancy. She is a creator of a unique self-exploration method called Intuitive Sovereignty, or IS. Annie is 51 years old and lives blissfully in Rincon, Puerto Rico, with pelicans, coconuts, and butterflies. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Annie, and I look forward to hearing about your experience with breast cancer. Now, first, you were diagnosed with breast cancer 7 years ago.
Yes, at the end of August of 2005. Mm-hmm. Thank you for inviting me.
And how did you find out that you had breast cancer?
I was doing a cleansing at the Optima Health Institute in Austin, Texas. And I had a massage by a massage therapist, and she was pressing kind of hard, and I could mm-hmm. feel a pain in my chest when she had been pressing against my back. And I started to feel in the area where there was a pain, and there was definitely like a hard nodule of some sort. And because my family had no true record of cancer, I wasn't really concerned. I just said, okay, I'll, you know, have this checked in the next few months and fly it by my primary care physician.
Mm-hmm.
And she also said to me, I don't think we have to worry about it. Let's just see what happens. You're doing bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and of course it's just continued to grow. And then I scheduled the appointments that were necessary to do an MRI, and then we did a biopsy, and by the end of August it was intraductal carcinoma.
And what interventions then did you do?
Well, when I got the diagnosis, of course the conventional medical community's recommendation at the time was, because a number of spots, more than 14 spots, showed up in my breasts based on the ultrasounds we did. So their recommendation was double mastectomy, and then because it was very hormone-dependent, also removal of my internal female organs. And you can imagine at age 46, I really wasn't looking forward to doing something like that. And also, as still a single woman, I was not looking forward to that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I had done a lot of research. I had been a pre-med major, and all throughout the years, I kind of kept abreast of natural healing modalities because I had worked on Wall Street for many, many years, and needless to say, that's an extremely stressful position, and you really do have to keep on top of your health to maintain it. And I also had an aunt who at age 33 was diagnosed with severely degenerative multiple sclerosis, but who went away to a spa in Switzerland for 6 months. She had since passed, so I didn't have her knowledge and her wisdom in 2005. But she went away for 6 months, changed her diet and her lifestyle radically, and was fine. Lived until she was 64 years old and ended up dying of something that had to do with her heart and nothing to do with MS.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew when I first got the diagnosis that I most probably was not going to go the conventional way, and I started doing major research, and I found the work of Joseph Issels among many, many incredible pioneers in alternative cancer care, and I decided to go to his son's clinic in Santa Barbara for a month in September and do his program, and I did it. I went for a month, and I did intensive IVs, and you know, diet, and I had already been a raw 80% raw vegan, so I had, I was like, what? For years by the time the diagnosis came. And it did. It worked. Most of the spots were eliminated when we did the ultrasound, and we just had one spot left, which was less than a centimeter. And yet, when I came back to Santa Fe, where I was living at the time, of course, the conventional medical community, which they were just like, you know, they had, they gave me no other option. And I went to a few. I went to a few oncologists and a few surgeons. But I can really remember the one surgeon with her back to me saying, so, what's wrong with a double mastectomy? I'll never forget that in my life. I was just like, I was completely and utterly taken aback.
Right.
I couldn't believe that someone could turn their back to you. Let's say that she had her face toward me and still even say something like that. It was like, because I find that if at any time medicine has to amputate anything, that's a problem.
Right.
Okay? It's a serious problem. Because we have many, quote-unquote, unconventional, but much more ancient healing modalities available to us from the Chinese, from Native Americans. It's everywhere. Earth was made for our health and well-being.
Right.
So it's kind of like, excuse me? And it really did work, but after that, I made a misstep because I was... See, also back in 2005, much like everyone else, I was determined that the tumor had to go away immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a big flip, and I actually bit down, and I did mini chemotherapy or insulin potentiation treatment, and that was a veritable disaster. It cost me $36,000 out of pocket.
Wow.
Because, my insurance was canceled at the time I was diagnosed as well.
Yeah,
this is a standard thing in the States. They have literally mathematical equations that pump out women and drop their insurance because breast cancer is such an issue. So, and that was a big error because the tumor just grew. And, of course, the tumor just grew because the practitioner with whom I was working alternatively didn't talk to the oncologist. The oncologist didn't talk to the it was insanity.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolute insanity. And then after that, I just I continued to do vitamin and mineral IVs. I continued to do, you know, dietary changes as well as lifestyle changes. And I really started to look at very deeply within about how I wanted to live my life, because if I was going to ultimately die of cancer in some way, I just wanted to live my life to its fullest. And that's what I pursued. And it was not easy, because even though I was living in a haven and a little nestling haven for alternative practitioners, the medical establishment of New Mexico was adamant. They were just so against anything alternative. It was terrible because you go to the appointments, and I know you've experienced this with clients and friends, and I have too. You go to these appointments, and you really just want to work with them. You just work with them. You want them to work with you. But you want a little give and take here and there. You want some room for choice. And they just didn't have it at the time. But by 2010, they were convinced that I was doing the right thing. And my oncologist at the University of New Mexico said, because the tumor that had grown was shrinking. And, oh, that's right, in 2007. That's right, 2007 somehow they gave me a diagnosis of terminal cancer. I came back from Guatemala, and they did a, I think it was a PET scan, and they said they found two spots in my lungs, very tiny, tiny spots. And, of course, the oncologist, God bless her, I will not use her name now because she's one of the most highly esteemed in the world. She said to me, I'm sorry, but you're now terminal, and it's just a matter of time before the disease declares itself. And I remember just looking at her going, I wasn't well. I certainly wasn't. But I went on the next 6 months of really intensive cleansing campaign and support campaign with my diet and nutrients, and it went away. So by early 2010, after I had moved to Puerto Rico, they were just like, keep on doing what you're doing. It's stable. It's not doing anything. And the PET scans will come back with an SUV of less than 1.5, which for their purposes, anything under a 2 is basically benign.
Right. Good.
And what I just kept on doing is I just kept cleaning my diet. I cleaned my life. I basically looked at life emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. And in each category, I just went through with a fine-tooth comb and just pulled out anything that was not of benefit to Anne. And that, and coming to truly know myself and what it was that I was here for, what would bring me the greatest joy. And it worked. It's like, it's really not rocket science. You know, now, having said that, I will also say this. I had a low-grade hormonally dependent tumor. So they're a little bit easier to work with because they have a history of moving more slowly. And I have had clients who have had medium to aggressive growth. And unfortunately, the truth is, chemo actually works really well for them.
Then, Annie, based upon your experience, what advice would you have for other women diagnosed with breast cancer?
The first thing I say to anyone who comes to me is you need to know what your true options are. And before we can get to the true options, we need to know exactly what kind of cancer this is. We need to know, down to the histology, pathology, what makes this thing grow and what makes it stop, not just chemo, And I urge them to consult with alternative practitioners to at least augment their treatment protocol. If they're going to go conventional, that's fine. That's their choice. However, boost the system during the conventional treatment, you know, whether it's with diet or it's with vitamin and mineral IVs or it's with infrared sauna treatments or colonics or all of these other types of modalities that are available to you, Chinese medicine, acupuncture, teas. But really examine and see what you're drawn to because your body knows exactly what will work. It always did, and the reason it's in the position it's in my personal opinion, is that you weren't listening to it for quite some time. And so if you really just listen to it, it will direct you exactly to what it needs, where, how, everything. And it, you will flow through the disease episode into recovery and or dormancy. I don't have an issue with dormancy. I ran into people in the early days of my treatment who were like, yep, 24 years ago I was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and you know that was 24 years ago. And I'd say, are the tumors still there? Yep, still there, never went, but doing nothing. And that's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. But then in nature that happens a lot as well. So, you know, so I try to urge them first and foremost to see what their options truly are, both conventionally as well as alternatively or within a complementary scenario. And then after that, I urge them to go deeply within and make the choice that is truly and authentically theirs, the one that they will come through the treatment with flying colors, the one they believe in, the one that resonates. And if that means eating white marshmallows, toasted white marshmallows, that's what's going to do it. Because I'm telling you, what I've seen, I mean, what was it? There's a study out of Stanford, 75% of all illness is caused by stress. So what is it, the mind perceiving the stress? Of course, it's not just the physical phenomena of the stress. And Bruce Lipton clearly points this out in all of his writings. We influence our biology through what we think and believe. So the placebo effect is so much more potent than anyone's ever spoken about. Now, I'm, of course, not advocating treating cancer of any sort with marshmallows, but the truth is they have to be really committed deeply in every cell of their body to what they're doing for it to truly work. If they have any doubt about it in any way, it's going to be a rockier road, no question.
Now, Annie, what differences did you note in your life as a result of this experience?
I noted a happier life. I noted a more harmonious, comfortable, relaxed, easy life. I noted a real affiliation, a newfound affiliation with things that brought me peace and love and nurturance, as opposed to the old Western model of competition, which competition ultimately does kill, because that's what it really does. And I found myself to become a much more cooperative human being, period. And so the move away from the competition model over to the cooperation was so natural in the healing process, and you feel so much better because you literally are living in a space of win-win. And that's a beautiful space to live in all of your life, cancer or not cancer.
Right, right. Now, Annie, then, would you tell us about services and products that you have and how the listeners can reach you?
What I offer at this stage in my career is I offer a comprehensive consultation, which means I go through all the pathology, I go through all of the medical workup, and I work with them to find the best, not only alternative and complementary practitioners, but traditional as well, so that no matter what they choose, they've listened to the best people in the field. They know what their true options are, and then they go within and they make the choice. So that's what I offer consultations. And I don't just exclusively work with cancer patients at all. Actually, my business was founded in 2005, Body by Bliss, and I work with people just so that they go into a healing and a wholeness campaign in their own lives, and they transmute their entire lives before, hopefully, a red flag like a cancer or some other disease. And I can be reached at my website for my book. My book's title is Pelicans, Coconuts, and Butterflies, Conquering Cancer with a Life of Soul, and it's available all over the world. But my website is pelicanscoconutsandbutterflies.com, all spelled out. And I got that because I knew no one would ever get that, and for sure we've had no problems whatsoever with the site.
Right.
And I also have a Facebook page under Annie Caspar and Pelicans, Coconuts, and Butterflies. And what's happened with the evolution of my business over the years now is that most of my business is through referrals at this stage. And it's the best way, of course, because the people already have an experience of someone else having a successful experience, whether it's in recovery from disease or it's just in cleansing and literally restructuring a life.
Well, I thank you very much, Annie. This has been interesting, and I know it will be helpful, especially to women that are faced with a breast cancer diagnosis. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I invite you to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com, and also www.beatlungcancer.net. On the Holistic Health Show website, you will find all of the past shows archived and available for your listening. You will also find items for sale that include Healthy Holistic Aging, a Blueprint for Success that I wrote in 2008 that tells you how to maintain health into your older age. You will also find You Can Beat Lung Cancer Using Alternative Integrative Interventions that talk about the natural treatment regime that I used when I was diagnosed with lung cancer 38 years ago and given 6 months to live. Not only did I beat lung cancer, but now at age 80, I am free of all chronic illnesses and prescribed medications. This book will also tell you how you can maintain your health into older age. I also invite you to connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, and also to connect or to like my Holistic Health Show page and my Beat Lung Cancer page on Facebook. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.